Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. We are continuing on with our Bible on Business series. A couple of quick church announcements. First, if you are looking to have me mentor you and help you grow or launch your podcast, I just opened up the registration for our new cohort. We actually started this week, but I'm going to leave registration open for the whole month of August. So if you want to learn more about how to work with me, how to work with Anchored Media to help launch or grow your show, and really just get the guidance that you need to take your podcast to the next level or to flesh out the idea that God has placed on the inside of you, click the link in the show notes to watch our open house. And I'll also include the link in the show notes for you to apply and learn more about my Purpose to Podcast program. Second church announcement is I did something new on my YouTube channel. I just set the camera up as I was preparing my notes for this episode and just did some behind the scenes of me just processing. Y'all know with the Bible on Business series, it's the text first, and then I am extracting what that means for entrepreneurs. And as I was doing this and kind of just wrestling with the text, going back and forth in different places in my Bible to try to understand the context of what was happening and just was processing out loud, really. This is the first time I did something like this, and I thought it was kind of cool. So make sure you're subscribed to my YouTube channel. The behind the scenes video is going to come out later than this episode, but make sure you subscribe to my channel because there are a lot of cool things that I'm going to be posting there. So I'll put the link to that in the show notes as well. So the title of today's episode is Losing 83%. Now this is going to make sense shortly, but that number was just so prevalent to me as I was studying this text. I had to put it in the title. We are going to be parked in John 6, 60 through 71 for this episode. Now, this episode came about, a friend actually told me about it. She was like, hey, did you know that Jesus had way more than 12 disciples? And in my mind, I was like, no, we only really hear about the 12. Now, we know that he amassed large crowds where he went and he taught or he performed miracles, how, you know, all these people followed him. But I never really knew that he had more than those 12 disciples. And so she gave me this text where it was brought up and she was like, I think this might be beneficial for your Bible on Business series, but I don't know, just read it and see what you get. So I read it in this episode is what I got. Now, to give some context before we read the text, John 6, 60 through 71 is a part of a larger discourse in which Jesus is teaching about the bread of life. So this particular passage, it follows Jesus' miracle of feeding the 5,000 and his teaching on being the bread of life, which leads to a deeper and more challenging teaching that causes many of his followers to struggle with his words. So that's where we are now. They are loving seeing Jesus do all of these miracles and they're on board. They want to hear more. They want to see him do more miracles, but then he starts to challenge them and they fall away. So let's read the text. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. Again, it's John 6, 60 through 71. It says, many of his disciples said, this is very hard to understand. How can anyone accept it? Jesus was aware that his disciples were complaining, so he said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what will you think if you see the Son of Man ascend to heaven again? The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But some of you do not believe me." For Jesus knew from the beginning which ones didn't believe, and he knew who would betray him. Then he said, "That is why I said people can't come to me unless my Father gives them to me." At this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, "Are you also going to leave?" Simon Peter replied, "Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know you are the Holy One of God." Then Jesus said, "I chose the 12 of you, but one is a devil." He was speaking of Judas, son of Simon, one of the 12 who would later betray him. That's the end of the text. Now, here's why I have 83% in the title, because I found this to be extremely interesting. In this text, he's referring to these people as disciples. So these people that Jesus was speaking to, he was referring to them as disciples, and then said how he narrowed them down to the 12 because everybody else deserted him. And he chose the 12 to continue on with him as his disciples. So I was doing some research and I'm like, well, how many? Because we know that Jesus drew large crowds, and we see it all through the text. We know that there were many large, we can estimate like thousands and thousands of people who he drew with his teachings. And so still I'm doing research, like which ones, like there's a difference in my opinion from those who were spectators and those who could be considered disciples. So I was really trying to find a number. So all I could find was in Luke 10, 1 through 24. So in this particular text, Jesus appoints 72 disciples, and some manuscripts say 70, and he sends them out two by two to every town and place where he was about to go. So this indicates that there was at least 72 followers who were given a specific mission apart from the 12. So again, we don't have a number even in our anchored text here in John of how many disciples these were, but in other places in scripture, like I said, in Luke 10, 1 through 24, there were 72 that he gave instructions to. So we're going to just go with that 72 number. If you go from 72 to 12, and even larger than that, let's say it's even more than that, because we just have these words of many, large, that aren't necessarily numerical. So let's say we take the number 72 and see the decrease from 72 to 12. That's an 83% decrease of disciples. I found that to be so interesting, thinking about this from an entrepreneurship standpoint, because imagine if you were running your business, you were building your online platforms, you had your YouTube channel, your podcast, your social media, you had your clients, your customers, your sales, you're just doing your business the Lord's way. And then all of a sudden, there was an 83% decrease. And I'm telling you right now, in my humanity, I would be losing my mind. I would be like, what is going on? What happened? Who messed up? Did I mess up? Did something go wrong? Is it the algorithm? Is it me? Am I not producing what I should? I would be frantic if I saw such a sharp decrease in results of what I was doing. But remember, one of the purposes of this series is for us to understand that what we do is not just about sales, it's about souls. So there's this duality that we have to learn how to operate in as kingdom entrepreneurs, where we're mindful of the metrics, but we're not driven by them, where we can understand the KPIs and the sales and the metrics and things that are happening in our business. But what's above all of that is the mission that the Lord has. It's the plan that he has. It's his purpose. He is above it all. And in understanding that, though, and having that clear hierarchy in place, we have to understand that we can find ourselves in this exact position where we see an 83% decrease. Jesus was not doing anything wrong. He was doing exactly what he was supposed to do. And 83% of his disciples deserted him. And even of the 12 he chose, he already knew two of y'all are sus, for lack of a better word. Judas is going to betray me and Peter is going to deny me. I know that, and still y'all are part of the 12. So Jesus had just such a perfect mission-mindedness that we have to adapt as entrepreneurs. And I'm going to get to that in a second, because there are four things that I want to pull from this text that are relevant for us as business owners. But before we get there, I want to talk a bit about why these people left. Because I believe we'll see that the same reason why these people deserted Jesus are the same reasons why they'll desert our businesses, for as long as we continue to speak the truth and operate in the truth that the Lord has us operating in our businesses. Overall, the disciples deserted him because they struggled with his teachings. To be quite honest, I think it was very cowardly, because instead of trying to push through whatever they were wrestling with, they just walked away. But nevertheless, here are the reasons why they struggled. So the first reason why they struggled with his teachings was because they couldn't really grasp the spiritual meaning. They were taking a lot of what he was saying literally. So, for example, Jesus' statement that his followers must eat his flesh and drink his blood was shocking to this particular audience. In Jewish context, consuming blood was strictly forbidden by the law of Moses. So the idea of eating flesh and drinking blood was not only offensive, but also incomprehensible if they were to take it literally. But many of them weren't really seeking to or able to comprehend the deeper spiritual meaning. Like, Jesus wasn't talking about literally drinking his blood, but he was speaking metaphorically about the necessity of fully accepting him, his sacrifice, and his teaching as the source of spiritual life, that bread of life concept they just were not getting. How true is that of those that we encounter today? If you're on your platforms or in your business, you're talking about fear of the Lord, and people are not understanding the depth of what that means, of having reverence for him, but they're looking at it as if he's just this strict, rigid dictator who wants a reason to judge you and damn you to hell. Like, if they're looking at it like that, but not looking at the deeper meaning, they're not going to want to follow your content. They're not going to want to be a part of your business. They're going to desert you the same way these people deserted Jesus. Does that mean that you're communicating wrong? No. Does that mean that you're doing something incorrectly with how you're showing up or serving your business? No. It's just people are going to be people. And some people, instead of trying to understand, they just run away. And that's what these disciples did here. Another reason why they wrestled with what Jesus was saying and ultimately left is because there was such a radical shift from previous teaching. So up until this point, many of Jesus' followers were attracted to him because of his miracles. So, for example, the feeding of the 5,000, and his teachings were more accessible there and less controversial. So that shift from these miraculous provisions of bread to the teaching about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, it represented a profound and radical demand for faith that went beyond their expectations and their understanding. What Jesus was telling them about was a call to a deeper and more intimate relationship, and it required total commitment and belief in him as the Son of God. And they wasn't there for that. They was there for the miracles. They was there for all them fish sandwiches. They was there for all the things that he could do for them, not all the ways that they can submit and give him their all. Again, sound familiar? How many people do you see today where they're looking for the Lord to bless them, even with business? Everybody loves to hear how he has plans to prosper me, not to harm me, to give me hope in the future, how he can do exceedingly and abundantly above anything that I can ask for or think, how, yes, indeed, it won't be long now. Things are going to happen so fast. My head is going to swim one thing fast on the heels of the other. Man, he's going to open up the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing I don't have room enough to store. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm the lender and not the borrower. All of these things, they get all the hooping and hollering, all of it, because people love to hear that those things. And those are all scripture. It's written right there in the text. just like the miracles that Jesus performed were all real. They were miracles that he performed. Those were the bright, shiny objects that people were drawn to then. And these are the bright, shiny objects that people are drawn to now. They love to hear about how you fasted and got a check in the mail overnight. So now you ain't ate in 2 weeks because you in check in the mail 3 times a day trying to see if you get a check. People love stories like that and hopping on things like that. But the second you start talking about repentance, holiness, purity, righteousness, studying the word, denying your flesh. Oh, no. They don't want that part. It's the same that we see these exact same things today. And so I'm making a lot of these things current because I want you to understand that the same way that Jesus saw an 83% drop in his disciples, for as long as we are on this path, it is likely, I'm not saying it is, I'm not saying it isn't, I'm saying it's a possibility that we can see that as well for these exact same reasons. And there were many more, I could pull many more reasons why they left him and how that's relevant today, but I think you get the point. So the question now is, so what do we do about this? How do I build my business when I have, because I don't want this to translate into you have to operate your business moving forward with a sense of impending doom. That's not, I'm not trying to perpetuate fear in any type of way. But what I do want to do is remove the scales from your eyes so that you can understand just the totality of what this journey involves so that you can then be prepared for if and when something like this happens. This episode is brought to you by IXL. In my household, education is so important. And in summer, there's still no breaks. So whether your child is trying to catch up, stay sharp like we are, or get a head start for the fall, IXL can make learning a seamless part of the summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're brushing up on math or diving into social studies. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade with content that's engaging, personalized, and yes, actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep learning going without making it feel like school. I am so excited to get started with IXL. My son is getting ready to go to kindergarten, and one of the tools that his school uses is IXL for Learning. And so we are so excited to dive in this summer to prepare him for the upcoming year. This program will improve your kids' grades. It will work for any of your kids. You save time and you save money, so don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com. Visit IXL.com to get the most effective learning platform out there at the best price. This episode is brought to you by Indeed. One of the most frustrating aspects of hiring is finding the right person. It takes a long time, and you really want to find the right person quickly so that you can start making the progress that you want to make on your business. If you're in a similar boat and you realize that your business needs to hire somebody yesterday and you want to know how you can find amazing candidates fast, easy, just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so that you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. When I was hiring, the process was slow and overwhelming. I wish I had Indeed. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed.
Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed is all you need.
So I have four practical things that I want to give you that's going to help you be able to circumvent the impact that something like this could have should it happen to you. So get your pen, get your paper. We're going to get real practical for a second. So the first thing that I want you to write down is do not get thrown off by people walking away. It may simply be part of the plan. This includes don't get thrown off by a dip in podcast listenership, by a loss in followers and views, by a loss in clientele. You should be just as excited when people walk away as when they come. Because your business, you should always, in praying for your business and seeking the Lord on your business, I want you to pray what Jesus said in verse 65. In verse 65, he says, "This is why I said that people can't come to me unless the Father gives them to me." So when you're praying for your business, say, "Lord, don't let anybody watch my stuff unless you sent them. Don't let anybody listen to my podcast unless you sent them. Don't let anybody buy my products or services unless you sent them." Pray that those the Lord has sent will be those that you are going to serve. Keep that prayer in mind. And as you pray that, also ask the Lord to increase your gift of discerning a spirit so you can be able to recognize them when they come. Because the enemy will send people to a part of life, period, is warfare, right? So we can expect that the enemy is going to do what he's going to do, but pray. And as you seek the Lord for him to send you people that are approved by him, also ask him to increase your gift of discerning the spirits so you can be able to spot a counterfeit and so that you can have wisdom too on how you shepherd and serve those that he's called you to. When you go back and read this text for yourself, I don't see any indication, even as this went on, that Jesus was thrown off by people walking away. He didn't even really seem thrown off by the fact that he already knew that Peter was going to deny him and that Judas was going to betray him, because he was clear on a mission. As I said earlier, he was mission minded, and we have to be the same way in our businesses. We have to be clear on what the Lord showed us. For me, I'm clear on what the Lord showed me for my business, Anchored Media. So over the last couple of years, when I faced frustrations in my business, my thought was never, let's throw the whole business away. It's like, God, I know for a fact what you've called me to do. I know what my mission here is with this business. So the fact that I'm frustrated means that there are some operational things that need to be adjusted, but I don't need to throw the whole thing away. So Lord, help me to be able to restructure this in a way to where it's in alignment for what you have me doing in this season. So when you're mission-minded, you don't get thrown off by worldly metrics. As kingdom entrepreneurs, we operate on kingdom metrics, not worldly metrics. So you could see an 83% decrease in your YouTube channel and you continue to push on and creating the content that the Lord has called you to create without having to change anything, without getting distracted by watching 50 million YouTube videos on how to beat the algorithm and how to create in a way to do X, Y, Z. You just stay focused. You can see an 83% decrease in your revenue and not get flustered. You can say, all right, have I done what the Lord said? Have I been obedient? Have I been faithful? Have I been stewarding well? Have I been tithing? Have I been seeking him? Yes. Okay, God, are you pleased? Lord, is this something I need to just persevere with? Or is this something, there's something that needs to be adjusted here? That's the mindset and the disposition that we take as kingdom entrepreneurs. We don't get flustered by what the numbers say. We keep our eyes focused on what's above, not what's in front of us. When I'm working with podcasters in particular, a lot of times they get frustrated by the metrics. Like, man, nobody's listening to my show. I don't have the numbers that I want to have. I feel like I should have more listens. I need to get to this point in order to be monetized. And my question to them is, okay, I understand that. There's nothing wrong with having goals. There's nothing wrong with wanting to see sustainable growth. But the fact that it's paralyzing you to the point where you don't want to record, you don't want to show up, is given idle. It sounds like you're placing the results of the thing above the one who gave you the instruction. So we need to address that. we don't need to talk about the numbers. We need to talk about the heart posture. We need to talk about the fact that you're easily distracted because you haven't made six figures yet. So now everybody is who's teaching something about making your first six figures, you're on every single class, as opposed to just following the Lord and waiting for his timing. We don't operate by these worldly metrics. We operate by kingdom metrics. And when you get that embedded in your mind, you're not going to get thrown off by the 80% that walks away. Jesus was focused on his mission. He looked at the 12 and he said, I choose you. So again, don't get thrown off by people walking away. It just simply may be part of the plan. And that leads to the second thing I want you to write down. Pour into those who stay and who are faithful. Your core 12, and 12 is relative. We know 12 is the number of disciples that Jesus chose, but whatever number of faithful followers, listeners, customers that you have, find a way to reward them and pour into them, whether it's giveaways, whether it's discounts, whatever the case may be, get creative. But find ways to pour into them. This is something I'm thinking about even for myself. I've been doing this podcast for 7.5 years. And there are people that I've met over the years where at one point I would know their names because they'll submit questions and stuff to the podcast. So I'll know their email address. Then they might follow me on social media and might DM me and we kind of interact there. Then I might put a product up and they'll buy the product and I'll see their name again there. And then I might have an event and I'll meet them in person. So I start to see these same familiar names and faces that pop up that have just supported over the years. And it's such a beautiful thing. But even reading this text, it made me think of, okay, how can I then take things a step further to pour into those who have faithfully listened to the show over the years? So for you, start thinking about that this week as well. Can I put together a reward program? Can I just do some type of giveaway? Maybe it's, and I might actually do this myself. Maybe it's I put together a QR code where it's coffee on me and I put a set amount of money on there and people could go to Starbucks or Dunkin' or whoever does it and buy coffee and breakfast for themselves as a way of just saying thank you. So think about that this week. How can you serve the 12 who have been faithful to you? Now, as I was reading this text and just sitting with it and processing and thinking about the implications for entrepreneurs, I still could not get over this 83%, y'all. Once I plugged them little numbers in that calculator and we went and I saw that 83% dip, my heart dropped because I know how I would react in real life if I saw that. And I'm like, man, operating with that level of risk, because there's a level of risk when we follow the Lord, risk in the sense of the natural, not eternal. And what we do it for is the eternal. However, if we're talking about just the practical parts of life, it's like, Lord, how do we build these businesses to make sure that we have an element of safety, that we're mitigating these risks in some type of way? And that's where these next 2 points are coming from. So number three, this is what I want you to keep in mind. Diversify your revenue streams. As you are building your business, do not put all of your income eggs in one basket. Diversify your revenue streams. Have a healthy mix of business to business and business to consumer income. I saw the importance of this in my own business when COVID first hit in 2020. It was such a crazy time to where I had products and services that I was selling. And then I also have corporate sponsors for the podcast. All of the corporate sponsors were canceling ads. All the marketing budgets got cut. Everybody was pausing campaigns because it was so much uncertainty. Nobody knew what in the world was going on with this pandemic and what impact it was going to have on the economy and on companies. And so everybody in fear was just pausing everything. So I saw a significant dip in my business to business income. But with my business to consumer side, here are all these people with the same jobs that are now doing them from home. So now they have a lot more disposable income. And they're also realizing the vulnerable space that they're in, to where they're like, I got to do some stuff on the side. I can't just rely on my job because we don't know what's going to happen with this pandemic. And so people were then investing in things to help sharpen their skills, to build side hustles and all of these things. So I saw my business to consumer income skyrocket, from books to courses to programs and all of that is skyrocketing. And that was a huge lesson for me, because I'm like, man, if I would have put all my eggs in that corporate basket, oh, please, my bills would not be paid. And so thinking about that in your business, how can you build in a way to where you're mitigating all risk? But as a believer, and as we're seeing in this text, there's always going to be a risk that people roll out because they're challenged by the truth that you're giving. So diversify those revenue streams. Another way that you can do this is have or mitigate this risk is to have clear contracts that provide you with security. So if you have people that you're working with on a term, make sure that you have some type of cancellation fees. So if somebody is scheduled to work with you for 6 months and you guys are contracted for you to provide them some type of service, make sure that you have a fee to where they decide to walk away, you still get some type of compensation. If you have a product-based business, make sure you have some type of return policy that gives you a bit of a safety net. So let's say if somebody returns, instead of a full refund, they get store credit. That's an example of what that would look like for a product-based business. But just think strategically about ways that you can mitigate this risk of people potentially walking away. And again, I'm not saying that they will. I'm just saying that there's always a chance. First of all, persecution is a part of this life. So there's always a chance that somebody is going to walk away. Does that mean that if that happens, your whole business needs to explode? No. This is why you have these things in place. So that was number three, diversify your revenue streams. And then lastly, number four, prepare financially for tough seasons. This looks like saving. Don't just, when you start making some money, go and buying stuff. Save your money and diversify how you save your money. Have your reserves for your business. Put some in a high yield savings account. Put some in just a regular savings account. Invest some in some type of brokerage account. Whatever the case may be, have some type of savings and investments. Put insurances in place in your business. Have all the liability insurances that you need. Have key person insurance, which is a type of insurance where if you're that person to where if you're out of commission, the whole business plunders, you need to have key person insurance so that you're, if something was to happen to you, you are able to be taken care of. We operate in this online space, so you should also have some type of liability insurance that covers the cyber world as well. And when it comes to these insurances, you could go on places like, and this is not an ad at all, like Policy Genius or these online spaces that kind of pull in a bunch of different insurances and compare it from a bunch of different places. You can browse these things to see what's out there, but you should have insurances in place for your business. So worst case scenario, if something happens to you, if something happens to your company, you're covered. Also in your business, make sure you're building a business with assets. You do that through property. So for example, with my business, Anchored Media Studios, we own the building and operate the business. So worst case scenario, if nobody wants to book space at our business, we can sell the building or lease the space. But it's an asset there that provides a level of protection for us. You also can do this through intellectual property, your trademarks, your copyrights. Having all the legal things in place. I got an email actually this week from somebody who was interested in licensing My God Is My CEO trademark. And I'm like, man, that's dope to be able to license out my intellectual property, for the Lord to give me something and for me to not just take it and run with it, but for me to take it, protect it and run with it. It is serving its purpose in the branding and the way in which I communicated on my platforms and things and the way I've used it on products and apparel. But it also is providing a level of it's an asset for me. So if somebody else wants to use it, I can then license it out to them. So everybody can walk away from me. Cool, cool, cool. This is also, though, another revenue stream that I have based upon taking extra step to protect what the Lord has given me. So again, as we land the plane, losing 83% is daunting. Again, I quantify it because I want us to understand the magnitude of what can happen or the level of risk that we have as kingdom entrepreneurs. But again, not to be fearful, not to feel like you got to constantly be working and it's all going to fall apart. Like, don't have this sense of impending doom. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Instead, I just want you to prepare. I want you to build smart. I want you to be so committed to the truth that you are also putting safeguards in place in your business, that if the truth offends people so much that it impacts your bottom line, it doesn't destroy you because you prepare for it. That's the purpose of this episode. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. If this blessed you, leave us a 5-star review, send it to a friend. I love you guys, and I'll see you the next one.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off 2 or more select major appliances. Plus, get 3 Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.